Courtney, back in the fall of 2024, after Hurricane Helene had done its worst, you started looking around trying to get a sense of, okay, what happened? And you felt led to check on a family friend named Jerry. What did you discover?
So the day we found Jerry, he was standing in his yard. He was in about 2 feet of mud, and the whole back half of his house was gone. It had washed away, and all of the contents of his home were gone. His garage was gone. He had nothing but the clothes on his back, and he had one vehicle left that hadn't washed away, but it was stuck in second gear, covered in mud. And when we found him, he was just standing in his yard crying. And Jerry was 69 years old. He was about to turn 70, and he was a dear family friend. And he said to us, "I don't know what I'm going to do. I had no flood insurance. I have no savings. I've lived in this house the majority of my life." And that night, my husband and I just prayed one of the most heart-wrenching, tearful prayers we've ever prayed, just begging God, please give us a way, because we knew it was probably $100,000 commitment to rebuild his house, to give him everything he needed, and it seemed impossible. But we know Matthew 19:26, with God, all things are possible. And we prayed, God, if there's any way, please help us get the money, whatever we need to build back Jerry's house. And then my husband added on, please let us get him back in his house by Christmas, which I thought was really bold. That was a lot of faith. So we prayed, and the next day we went down to help him. God sent everything we needed. The work crews, the materials, we had over 100 people at his house that day. And by the time we left that night, we were so moved watching God's people move that I made a video to my, I had 600 followers on my Author Courtney Daily Facebook page. Okay. Just, I was a nobody. And I just made this little video crying my eyes out, talking about the miracles that God had sent us that day. And God made the video go viral. It got over 5 million views. And I started getting thousands of messages from people all over the world, not just the United States, all over the world, wanting to donate and help and rebuild Jerry's house. People volunteering flooring or work crews or all sorts of different things. And we set up a fund through our church, and people could donate there. And everything just started pouring in, and we had Jerry's, God had Jerry's entire house built back with everything he needed, from the furniture, his clothes, a vehicle. Someone donated a new vehicle, everything he needed by December 18th,
by
one
Christmas.
Week before Christmas. Yes.
So since then, you know, you saw your first victory, what God was doing. What have you been doing since then?
Well, we had so many building materials and so many donations pouring in that we started moving down the street, because we were like, whoa, this is way more. And there were so many needs. So many people had lost everything. So we started going down the street and asking different homeowners, okay, what did you lose? What do you need? How can we help? And every time we stepped out in faith and said, let's help this family, God came in behind us and just paved the way. He fixed everything for us. And today we have helped 14 families repair and rebuild their homes. And then a few months ago, we started our 15th house, which is a complete tear down and rebuild for a single dad and his two daughters. And our motto is, every time we start a new house, we're like, okay, this is our last house. Okay, this is our last house. But God keeps sending funds and work crews and building materials. And now our motto is, we'll stop when God stops, because this is not our plan. This is obviously his plan.
So did you ever feel overwhelmed? You know, were you getting some negative pressure maybe from the enemy, or were you, go ahead.
For sure. We felt like it was probably around Christmas time when it really hit. It was like spiritual warfare. The devil was coming against us, because a lot of these homes where people were being helped, people were committing their lives to Christ. There was revival. There were prayer and worship services in the muck in people's front yards every day. It wasn't just about rebuilding homes. And Satan was mad. We were feeling it. He was coming after us, and we were discouraged. I had terrible anxiety and burnout, and we were overwhelmed, and I got really sick. I was in bed for about 2 weeks. I don't go to bed. I don't take naps. I don't stop. I think God put me in bed for 2 weeks. And I really think during that time, it was to show me, hey, look, you're in bed, but my work is still going. Because I was just a passenger and I was trying to do everything on my own, not realizing, hey, God's the one who belongs in the driver's seat. He's the one who's running this whole thing.
Some amazing things have truly happened. And I understand you're releasing a new book that's looking at the blessings, the wonderful things that God has done. It's called God Stories, which is a term we really like here at K-Love too. Can you give us a few examples of something that could only have been done because of God's provision and his involvement?
It's really crazy because I mean we wouldn't have the time to go through. There are so many stories. There has been something almost every single day for the last year. But some of my favorites, around Christmas time when I was going through all that anxiety and it was just a really dark time. One of the Facebook followers sent me a message and she said, "I feel like God was nudging me to send you this song." And it was the song Still Waters. I don't know if I'm sure you've heard it. I had never heard it before. And the song is all about how that God's going to walk with you and lead you by still waters. And if you're afraid or you're having anxiety or whatever, you just need to lean into him and let him shepherd you. And the first time I heard the song, I just cried my eyes out because I felt like it was a message from God. Well, it was about 3 weeks later that we had moved across the river. We were done with Jerry Street. And it wasn't just our church. Other churches had adopted these different homes down the street. And we moved across the river because there was another couple working on 24 homes single-handedly by themselves. And I told my husband, I said, I'm so overwhelmed. I don't know if I can keep going. And I feel like God wants us to keep going. And I remember crying, saying, I don't think I can keep doing this. And then they said, if you'll just take this one house, it's the worst house. And if you could take this off our plates, it would help us so much. So we go to look at the house. It's awful. The floors were falling in. We knew we were going to have to take off the whole back half of the house. And we're in there and I'm taking videos. My husband's doing measurements. We're looking at everything. And we got back in the truck and my husband said, how much money do we have left in the church fund? And I said, I don't know. Let me text the church secretary. And as soon as I said it, my phone dinged and it was a message from the church secretary. And she said, you wouldn't believe the way the donations are pouring in. We've gotten $5,000 just today. And I held out my phone and showed it to my husband. And I just cried. And we started driving down the road and we got to the end of the street. And I said, stop. The sign, the road that we were starting on, the new house we were taking was on Stillwater Circle. Like the song Still Waters. And I fell apart. I just cried my eyes out because I just felt the presence of God in my heart. Sorry, I get so choked up talking about it because it was like he was just showing me, hey, I've got this. This is my plan. And that house, I didn't touch that house. God rebuilt that entire house in 68 days. I was there one whole day for the paint day. That was it. There was another time that I got a message from our volunteers saying, and they were on Jerry Street still, and they said, what are we going to do? TEMA, which is like FEMA for Tennessee, just showed up and picked up all of the donated porta potties up and down the street. And we were like, oh no, because we had so many volunteers, we needed those porta potties. And I was like, okay, we'll get on it. We'll figure it out. Like, let's start praying about it. We need some porta potties. Well, it was like 2 hours later that these guys from the next town over were coming to my house, these two men, because they had donated six sets of washers and dryers for the homes we were working on. And they pulled into the driveway. They're unloading the washers and dryers. Well, I can't stop talking about this work. Like, it's a problem. I'm in the grocery store. I'm talking to random strangers. I'm at the hardware store. Like, I'm telling everybody about God's miracles because I can't help but speak the things I've seen and heard. It's been incredible. So I'm telling these guys all about, oh, God's doing this and God's rebuilding this house and listen what God sent. And the guy stops me and says, listen, he reaches into his wallet, pulls out a business card and says, I actually own a porta potty company. And he says, I just want to commit that whatever new project you take on, any porta potties you guys need, they're free from here on out until you're done.
Wow.
And I broke down. I started bawling in my garage, and these guys are staring at me like, this lady's crying over porta potties. Like, what in the world? And I was like, you don't understand, because it happened every day. Every provision that we needed, God sent what we needed. We had another day, we were working on Jerry Street, and we had an HVAC company show up that does heat pumps. And they said, we got to do a quote on this one particular house. And we didn't know who lived there. We hadn't made contact with the person. We had missed them somehow. We had never spoken to the people in that house, and I didn't think they'd had any damage. And I was like, who ordered that? And he said, I don't know. I don't have it in my notes, but somebody's ordered an HVAC quote for this house. And we were like, okay, well, just go ahead and do it. I guess we'll figure it out. So I started calling around, who ordered this? Nobody ordered it. Nobody ordered it. Well, the HVAC guy comes back to me an hour later and says, this lady's heat pump was completely wiped out, and she's a widow lady, and she and her grandson are cold. And I was like, oh, wow. So I called our church group, and I was like, okay, guys, what do we do? And they were like, God's telling us to get this woman a heat pump. Let's do it. So we ordered it. We said, charge our church for it. We'll take care of it. Do the heat pump. Well, it was about 2 months later. The heat pump was completely installed. Everything was done. And the church secretary's like, Courtney, where's that invoice? Like, I need to pay this. Let me know. And I was like, okay. So I called the heat pump company, and I'm like, hey, there was this house. You guys installed the heat pump. We were supposed to be paying for that. Can you give me the balance? She put me on hold forever. And she finally comes back on the phone, and you could tell, like, she was smiling. There was a smile in her voice. And she said, the balance on the heat pump is $0. And I couldn't even talk, because it was like, okay, God found a house that we had overlooked. He knew there was a widow lady there. He ordered the quote. He ordered the heat pump. He paid for the heat pump. It was all God. And we were just standing there watching him work.
That's incredible. That's God.
It's God.
So the headlines about Helene have kind of moved on as things happen with news and so forth. But how much work really remains to be done to help people there?
That's been the crazy thing about this whole work, is that God has only been lighting the path for us a few feet in front of us. Every time we think we're on our last house, a need pops up. And we all joke about it, because when more funds start coming in, like, we had a really large donation this past week, and we're like, oh, God's not done yet. There's something else. There's something else. And if funds pour in, usually the need shows up. Like, right now, we're doing our 15th house. But we had the county building inspector come to one of our deacons from our church and say, hey, we just found another family in Roan Mountain that needs a rebuild. And I think God has done that, because he's only showing us a little bit at a time. And if there's one thing that I've learned through all of this, it's that we can't make plans. It's not our plan. And every time we make plans, God comes behind us with his bigger and better plan and fixes whatever we've tried to do. So every time we make the assumption that, okay, this is our last house, or okay, we're about done, or we're going to stop, or we're going to do one more, we don't know. But apparently we're not done, because God keeps sending materials. And I was talking to our little group who's still rebuilding, and they said, well, if it takes years, we may be doing this for years. We don't know, because it's just whatever God wants us to do.
Now, where is all this taking place geographically?
This is all happening in Elizabethton, Tennessee. It's mostly been in the Hampton and Valley Forge areas. It's about 20 minutes from the North Carolina line, and it's really this little strip that didn't get a lot of the news and the attention, because it was right here in Tennessee, this one little area that just got wiped out.
If someone who is listening or reading our story would like to know more about your efforts that are continuing to come alongside, get more information, where should they go?
The best place, probably, my author, Courtney Daly, page on Facebook. We have tracked all of the work from the very beginning. It's all in videos. And it just tells where we are, the progress, what's happening. We'll do updates. The funny thing is, though, a lot of it isn't about the building anymore, because God took our building projects and has turned it into a ministry. And now it's a lot of helping people with their faith and talking about God and praying with people. We also have our church's Central Community Christian Church in Johnson City. And people can look up the church, and there's information about the flood relief work on their Facebook page. And there's also, we still have our little giving link that's the flood relief fund that people can click on that and still donate if whatever God's will is, that's what we're going to do.
And as for your book, where's it going to be available?
The book is coming out September 26th, and it will be available on Amazon in hardback and paperback. It's coming out on the one-year anniversary of Hurricane Helene.
What's in it? What are we going to see?
It's the God stories. It's the miracles. It's the heat pumps, and it's the people who prayed for a truck and said that if they got a truck, they would go back to church. And then a truck showed up, and it's the people who needed healing and needed help, who needed a certain work crew, and the right person showed up for the right job on the right day. It's all of the miracle stories about what God has done here. Not just all of that, but the stories of the people who found their way back to God because of this tragedy. And the people who said, I used to think this was the worst thing that ever happened to me, but God has turned my life around. And now I see it's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Well, we really appreciate you talking with us and sharing your heart on this, Courtney. This is an amazing thing that's happening, and we're honored to be able to get the story out to some more people and then tell them what you're doing. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. It's an honor to share it.